This is Steven Adams.
And this is Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant. You're Kevin Durant, mate. Good to see you, mate. Different complexion.
Okay, let's go again.
So, this is Steven Adams.
And this is Enes Kanter.
You're listening to the Down to Earth.
Down to Dunk podcast.
What? Down to Dunk.
Down to Dunk.
I'll
down
say
to
that.
Dunk.
Introduce yourself, mate.
Here's Steven Adams, and I'm Enes Kanter.
And you're listening to Down to Dunk podcast.
Stay tuned.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. This is your host, Andrew Schlecht. We are part of DailyThunder.com, also Almighty Baller Radio. And with that, we're on Dash Radio on Saturday afternoons. Today, I have the man, the hot ham man, John Ham. What's up?
Hey, it's been a while. We need to talk more often.
I know. We need to do this podcast thing more often, John Ham.
I know. Like, hourly. We need to have an hourly podcast.
That's right. This is not enough for people to hear our voices every day. Just not enough. So I'm leaving town tomorrow. My wife and I are going to Florida for a few days to catch some rays. And
nice.
So with that, I'm recording a bunch of podcasts. And like yesterday I recorded. Today I'm recording a few that I'm going to release later. So we're recording this on a Tuesday. We'll release it on Wednesday. And then I'm also recording the Sam Vecenie this afternoon. And that won't run until Monday, but there will be a lot of really good draft stuff. But I'm trying to set up pods to drop, so you will not be without podcasts while I'm gone. So it's Hot Ham Wednesday. And so we're going to go to a hot ham bag. And we are this ham bag is brought to you by Anchor Down. Anchor Down is a restaurant in Deep Deuce, downtown OKC. It's a really a great bar. If you're looking for like a new bar that and you haven't tried Anchor Down, Anchor Down's a great bar. And it's open late. They also serve food late, which is kind of one of their special things that a lot of people, they'll go downtown, and if you're there past 10 o'clock, like you can't find a place to eat. Anchor Down is one of those places. So if you live downtown, or if you're downtown a lot at night and want to find a place where you can grab some late night food, these pizza tots are great. The corn dogs are obviously really good. And then if you're looking for a late night salad, there's only one place to go, baby. It's Anchor Down. And the beer selection is so, so good. So go check out Anchor Down today. Our first question comes from at jringle629. And James asks, I get Oladipo and Adams are the future, but if Kanter isn't traded, are they worth putting out there to see what's available?
Is it worth putting Oladipo and Adams out there to see what's available?
Yeah, I think he's asking, is it worth using them as trade bait rather than like pushing them as like the future of OKC?
Oh, sure. I mean, look, I don't think the front office necessarily considers those guys untouchable at all. If I had money to wager right now, I would say Oladipo's not going to complete this contract in Oklahoma City.
Yes.
That's just my hunch.
Yeah. And I think that Adams is probably more likely to stay with the Thunder for his career than Oladipo. But Oladipo kind of – like if the Thunder are going to upgrade via trade – and they're going to look to bring in somebody like Anthony Davis is like now my like dream trade scenario. Just because I think that things could go poorly enough in New Orleans that he may want out in the next couple of years. I'm not saying this season. I'm not saying this summer. I'm saying in a couple years. And by that time, that's where I'm just hoping like the Lakers and the Celtics have kind of cashed in their assets for players. And like, there's a new, like new line of teams ready to get Anthony Davis. And I think the Thunder have got guys. And I think if, you know, they develop Sabonis and I think you could make like Oladipo, like the centerpiece of it. Plus Sabonis, plus whatever else, plus like future first round draft picks or something like that. I think like something like that could work as long as those guys continue to get better.
Yeah, I mean, that's a guy. I mean, obviously, I mean, New York holds so much leverage on Porzingis right now, but,
right.
you know, that's another one to keep an eye on. Mm-hmm. But that one's even more complicated than, you know, potentially swinging for Davis. So, but yeah, I mean, in the short term, I mean, I have no doubt if there's a deal this summer involving Oladipo or Adams
yeah.
that, you know, they think, oh, wow, this – we can't pass this up. I mean, they're going to do it. I wouldn't say they're necessarily shopping them per se, but I mean, they're available, you know, if the planets align and the right guy becomes available.
Would you do Adams and Oladipo for Kevin Love and Iman Shumpert?
See, the thing with Love is that knee is the thing that kind of gives me a little bit of pause. Now, he's on one of the old max contracts. Mm-hmm. That's nice. He's got, after this season, he has 2 years and then a player option. I still don't think I would do it.
Okay.
Still don't think I would. Shumpert's only got one more year than a player option. I get the... It might be a talent upgrade. I just don't know that I would cash in my assets on those guys right now.
Right. And what's funny is that if you're looking to win a championship or to compete for a championship, Kevin Love is clearly not the guy to go grab, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's kind of the thing.
At least for the next 4 years or something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kevin Love probably is going to wind up being someone starting center here in the next year or two.
Yeah, and I think Kevin Love
just the way
is great.
The league is trending.
Yeah.
Well, no kidding. He really is.
He's really, really good. And I think that he would make the Thunder better next year. If the Thunder made that trade, they would be better next season. If you start Love at center, I mean, your defense is going to take a nosedive, but it also allows you to go ahead and go re-sign Roberson without the fear that he's going to kill your offense. Because Kevin Love mm-hmm. is a really good passer. He can obviously shoot from three. This gives Russ a ton more space. But your defense is going to suffer because of that. And you become basically a high-octane offense. Which I think that in this current league, that you want to be a better offensive team than defensive team. Obviously, you would love to be both.
But yeah.
I think that having I think that having a high octane offense will serve a little bit better. Just because a better offense beats a good defense every time. And we're seeing that before our very eyes in the finals. There's nothing you can do with the offense that the Warriors have. And I think a Kevin Love, Russell Westbrook, pick and roll, pick and pop, it would be unstoppable. But also I wonder, does that, if you're the Cavs, would you do that?
Right. Yeah. I mean, they've got some things to figure out when this finals is over.
They do.
Like, what can you do? and we could talk about here in a minute what some of their limitations are. But
well, let's
it's
do that.
Be,
from
be curious.
From at the real Ryan VK, he asked, what moves can the Cavs make this offseason to even attempt to compete with the Warriors?
So here's where the Cavs stand right now. Going into next season, they've already got $125 million in commitments. And that is with Korver, James Jones, Deron Williams, Derek Williams, every center that they try to sign over the offseason coming off the books. Yeah, I mean, that's 9 guys. 10 if you count Eddie Tavares, and that's also Kay Felder. So really only 8 guys and then a couple of spare parts. And now they're in the repeater tax next season. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if they've got to have more than 9 guys, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, already you're into that second tier of luxury tax, of repeater tax. I mean, you're talking about already a $15 million tax bill as things stand right now. So, I mean, it's honestly, it's just going to be costly, and we'll see how much LeBron's tolerance, you know, holds, because I think ownership is going to, they're going to look to be, I don't know. They're going to look to trim some corners, just like they did this past season, mm-hmm. I think. So what can they actually do? You know, already I've heard, you know, Paul George's name associated with them. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously people keep pairing Carmelo Anthony there. Maybe something like that would help. Maybe using Shumpert, Channing Frye, and but they've exhausted so many future assets like draft picks too. I mean, they spent a lot to get to this point.
They really have, and it's going to be via trade, right? Like it's a Kevin Love deal, and
Love is the most exchangeable player, it seems.
Yeah, and they're. I mean, teams will want Kevin Love.
Yeah.
But what can you get back that's really going to help you? I don't know. You kind of look at the usual suspects, like Denver has a lot of guys that could be traded. You look at even Phoenix, like if you did Love for Bledsoe and Jared Dudley.
But I don't think... TJ Warren. I don't think they can afford to do that. I mean, they need like another all-star in exchange for Kevin Love.
Yeah.
I just don't think LeBron is going to sign off on bringing in a couple of really good guys at this point.
Right. And what star can you get back? You want to get Boogie?
Yeah.
You want Boogie? Like you could go get Boogie. I mean,
maybe you could try. The Paul George thing is interesting. I mean, let's assume that, sure, maybe he wants to go to L.A., but let's say there's a real opportunity to go to Cleveland, just like Kevin Love had an opportunity to leave Minnesota and go to Cleveland and, you know, was agreeable, you know, to stay there. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. Maybe Indiana could pull together a three-team deal. I don't think trading Paul George for Kevin Love makes a whole lot of sense for him. Trading for Shumpert and Channing Frye means a whole lot. And then Cleveland doesn't have really – I'll have to look and see what their draft pick situation is. They may not be able to offer a first-round pick for multiple years.
Yeah, which is a problem for Cleveland moving
forward.
It's
an issue.
And they've got a lot of older guys on their team too. I mean, JR, Kyle Korver, Richard Jefferson, like these are – You've got some older guys on this squad, and what are you going to do? Like, what does Kyle Korver, what does he get on the market this summer? And he can't even play versus the Warriors. They're probably fine to let him go because he can't even play against the Warriors. So you need to.
They gave up a future first round pick to get him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing. Their 2017 first round pick goes to Portland. And that was to dump Anderson Varejão and bring in Channing Frye. So they can't trade their 2018 first-round pick. Their 2019 goes to Atlanta for that Korver trade. They can start dealing with their 2021 first-round pick, but I don't know how much – maybe some teams would be interested in that because at that point Cleveland should be rebuilding, right?
You'd think, unless LeBron is still doing this. And I'm not going to be the one to say he's going to be done ever.
Right. I'm just saying that's 4 years from now when LeBron would be like 36 and who knows. 36,
yeah. I have no clue. Yeah, they should be. They should be in a different spot.
They should be if they're not, you know, like back to where they were a few years ago, they should be like descending.
Yeah.
At that point. But still – like, that's not a whole lot. I mean, they can offer up their first-round picks in 2021 and 2023 in some trades. I don't know if that's enough.
What about this one? Kevin Love, J.R. Smith, and Iman Shumpert to the Bulls for Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah, why not?
That still didn't beat the Warriors, but... Makes things a little
doesn't seem like it.
Makes things a little doesn't interesting.
And in the meantime, they still need to pay their general manager too, because he wants a significant raise for all the crap he's having to deal with and all the success that he's helped. And by the way, if I hear one more LeBron James is the GM of Cleveland, I might, you know, might punch a hole in the drywall. Like David Griffin knows what in the world he's doing.
He's
so
very good.
Yeah.
Not every team right now that has an opening for a GM. is calling and saying, hey, can we can we get an interview with this guy?
Right. And I know I just said earlier, like, you know, LeBron's not going to sign off on trading Love for a couple of good players. I mean, and what I meant by you, Kevin, LeBron James would not be happy if they did something like that. So
what about Tristan Thompson and Iman Shumpert for Carmelo?
Yeah. If you're going to downsize.
And Tristan Thompson has been borderline unplayable.
He and JR both.
Yeah.
Doesn't JR have more fouls than points in the finals or something ridiculous like that?
That sounds like something true about JR Smith.
And, like, I get, you know, probably there's other things on his mind with his newborn and some stuff like that. I mean, there's always the human element in there. Did you see what Mike Wise tweeted out after the game 2 loss? That the Cavs locker room smelled of reefer.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my.
Yes, I've got to go find this tweet.
Maybe they need to do Tristan Thompson for Joakim Noah then.
Maybe so. Oh man, Joakim Noah and his battles with Cleveland over the years.
Oh man, yeah. You have Kyrie, LeBron, Melo, and Kevin Love. That's just a bunch of old guys looking real sad.
And then
the Warriors, to me.
What do you do defense? I mean, the Cavs defense was bad this past year, and some of that was just, let's get through the season. But, you know, needless to say, that defense doesn't scare Golden State at all.
No.
Here's what Mike Wise tweeted out. Cavs locker room has a strong reefer aroma to it tonight. Hey, it's Cali. You're down 2-0 and it's about pain control.
Oh my gosh.
Then his follow-up was, to be clear, I don't know who was imbibing marijuana in the Cavs locker room, media that entered, player, etc., but it wasn't a dead skunk.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's crazy. That is crazy. Yep. Maybe the Cavs get weird. Maybe they do a... what would it take to get Boogie from New Orleans if things are just awful?
I mean, that's not a deal they can make in the off season. Maybe if you get into the season. Yeah. I don't know. It feels like the first step that would probably happen is fire the coach, fire the general manager before you get to the point of getting Boogie Cousins.
Right. Like Jrue Holiday leaves. They're just a mess. Tim Frazier's your point guard.
Right.
They get to January. They're below 500. Boogie is tearing apart their locker room.
Yeah. Maybe something like that, but yeah. Yeah. Look, I mean, and here we are talking about, I mean, we talk about Oklahoma City's challenges. I mean, it's not unique to Oklahoma City. Look what, you know, we just spent, 20 minutes here talking about Cleveland and what they're going to do. I mean, look across the league. Other teams have got a lot of challenges in trying to put together, you know, some sort of a team that can make a deep playoff run or potentially pull off a, you know, finals upset.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be really tough these next few years to compete with that team. Yeah. Even for LeBron, Kevin Love, Kyrie team.
Sure.
Jimmy Butler would help. Paul George or Jimmy Butler would help because I think both those guys are better than Love and Irving.
Yeah.
Do you think they would consider trading Irving? Yeah, Tristan's been fine. Do you think they would consider trading Irving?
I still don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't. I mean, again, it's Irving doesn't quite get the respect that he deserves. Mm-hmm. And he's on an old max contract. So, you know, let's just say in a pretend world like the Wizards were willing to deal John Wall for Kyrie Irving. I mean, I don't know. I think I'd rather have Irving on that team, to be honest.
Just for his shooting.
Yeah,
if you put him on the market, you could bring back something really interesting.
Yeah. Boy, that'd be a blockbuster of a deal. I mean, maybe if you want to get wild, let's talk about some sort of Kyrie Irving for Chris Paul sign and trade. But I joked about that last summer and it didn't happen. Right. So,
Yeah, I don't think they'll deal him either. Let's see. This is from at Shannon Z. Ward. Could we see OKC move to a small ball lineup of Adams and Domas at center, Domas, Grant, and Doug at power forward? Maybe Dakari can come if Adam as an Adams injury insurance. I think that it's likely that that's kind of the big man setup that they have if they deal Kanter and they don't bring Taj back. I mean, I think that they'll bring in another guy, or maybe Nick Collison comes back. I don't know. I don't think that that's unlikely that they do that. But the Thunder like to play big, and they've shown that over the past few years. So I'd be a little surprised if they didn't go get somebody else, if they dealt away Kanter and then let Gibson go. But I could see it working just fine. But you're counting on a lot of development from guys like Domas and Grant, and then McDermott to become like a full-time backup four. I mean, that's a transition for him, a transition that I think they want to make, because I don't think he's good enough on defense to be a wing. What do you think, Ham?
Yeah, I mean, some of this comes down to how does the team want to play? Because up until this time, I mean, this team has stuck to we are a big physical team. And they've, you know, this is front office on down. They felt like a lot of the advantages is that they've had big physical players that can physically overmatch, you know, some of the smaller lineups. And it's the sort of team that matches up well against San Antonio and Memphis and Utah and the Clippers. So I hesitate to, you know, just wildly drive away from that. I mean, if your target is how do you beat the Warriors, well, go get four of the guys that we just rattled off that Cleveland needs to go get.
Right.
So I know the Houston loss, you know, looked bad largely because of Enes Kanter, but I mean, I think we talked about that. I mean, Kanter was part of the problem there, but so was backup point guard. So I don't know. I think they do want to be more versatile. I do think they want to play a little bit smaller, but I don't think they necessarily want to scrap everything just off of last season's five game series, because they've had a lot of success playing with big lineups. So they definitely need some more space to operate, but I don't think they're just going to radically move away from that.
Yeah, I agree. I would be surprised if they didn't go get another big if they dealt Kanter and let Gibson walk.
I still think it's Dakari.
You do.
I think Dakari's going to be. I think he's going to be on the 15-man roster next year. I don't think he's going to be one of those 16, 17 spots. I mean, just, you know, more and more, you know, just the articles that are written and just the way the Thunder have operated. I mean, Samaj put in his 2 years and then got an NBA roster, you know, spot. Josh Huestis did his year in the D League and got an NBA roster spot. Dakari Johnson's just put in his 2 years. So he's either A, on the roster next season, or he's part of a deal before the season starts.
Yeah. I worry a little bit about Dakari as far as him being an NBA player. He's real big. He's not real quick. I don't know that he can defend in space. I think that he's very Kanter-esque as far as his skill set goes. He's a little Jahlil Okafor-y as well. And when you mention those kind of guys, you're just like, ugh, like, I don't know. Jahlil Okafor came out and people considered him for the number one pick because of the skill he had, but Dakari was a guy that was like a clear second rounder. And so, like, he worries me so much, and I really, really, really don't want him to be on the 15-man roster for that. I would rather them go buy a second round pick in this current draft and, like, get Josh Hart or, you know, even like Frank Mason and just see if he works out, or Devin Robinson. Like, I would rather them go get one of those guys, Sendarius Thornwell. Like, there's a lot of, like, guys that interest me that are kind of older in this current draft. Nigel Williams-Goss from Gonzaga. Like, all those guys, I'm just like, oh, I'd like to see if they can do it. But when you talk about, like, a lumbering big man who scores around the basket, I'm like, I'm kind of out on that.
Well, and here's the beauty of it. is they can go get one of those guys, and mm-hmm. they can, you know, see over summer league what do they like. You know, now that they've got basically two extra roster spots because of these new D-League roster spots, these two-way contracts.
Yeah.
You know, they can legitimately bring those guys to camp. And if one of those outplays Dakari, I mean, if you sign him to a contract, it's going to be minimum salary. Mm-hmm. So it won't be a huge investment. But I don't know. I feel like that's the way the Thunder have operated in this sort of way. So I kind of think they're going to do that. But I mean, it's something else to consider too, because I mentioned, you know, how this team has had success playing big. Go to Basketball Reference and look at their five-man combinations. Their best lineup last season, albeit in 26 minutes, was Adams, Grant, Cantor, Oladipo, Westbrook.
Yep.
And that they were at plus 36 in that time. The third best lineup in 74 minutes, which was the eighth most used lineup, so there's a little bit more of a sample size there, was Abrines, Adams, Cantor, Robertson, Westbrook. Mm-hmm. So that's two of their top three best lineups had Adams and Cantor on the floor together. So
yeah.
That's what I say. I know a lot of people are looking at that Rockets series and you're saying Enes Kanter, you know, you got to move on from him. And I still think that they could for a number of reasons. I mean, payroll and, you know, his contract situation. And yes, that they may need to redistribute that money elsewhere. But if they can't move him for whatever reason and bring him back, I mean, it's not like it's not like bringing back Kyle Singler. I mean, you're talking about bringing back an actual useful NBA player, and there's data to back that up.
Yes, I definitely agree with that. I don't think that Kanter is – he's not a minus player anymore. I think that at one point in his career he was. Even when he first came to the Thunder, I think that he was a minus player. But I think that his offense and his offensive rebounding is just that good to where he's a helpful player. I just wonder, on a Westbrook-led team – I think the roster needs to be balanced more. I just don't know that you can commit $40 million to centers that, and they do play well together, but it's going to take, you know, Presti's declaration of him being a 3-point shooter becoming a reality for it to really work. Because you cannot pack the paint, and the Thunder can't continue to run lineups where there's one shooter in the lineup with Westbrook. You just can't. You can't do it. It's not sustainable for Russ to have to create like that. Like, he needs two, three, or four shooters on the floor with him at all times. And if you don't do that, I think that you're limiting what this team could be.
And a lot of that comes down to, you know, why can Sabonis develop? How does Abrines develop? Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, I could see lineups with McDermott and Abrines on the floor with Russ. I got two spots left. Okay, I'm just doing math in my head. Cantor and Adams, you know, now guys have room to operate, or even put in Sabonis in place of like Adams. Mm-hmm. I think some of that stuff could work. I mean, again, we're all judging based on last season and assuming it's always going to be that way, when no, things could improve just with those guys, but I still think there's going to be some changes.
Sure. Next question from at Dr. Faisal. He asks, for the summer of internal development, what skill should each young guy be working on the most this summer? I really did a good job reading that. I think
we both agree.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sabonis needs to tie his left hand behind his back.
Yeah, he's got to work on his right hand. And I think even more than that, like, he's got to get right mentally. Like, he's got to be aggressive when he's on the court.
Yeah.
Like, no more of this tentative, like, I'm afraid to get the ball. Domantas Sabonis. Right. We talked about that on Locked On Thunder yesterday, that, like, the difference between the Denver triple-double game for Russell Westbrook for Domas and the next game where Russ sat against the Timberwolves is night and day. And
yep, definitely.
That just cannot be the case next year. Even if that right hand doesn't look awesome, next season, I think that's something that he can improve on. But mentally, oh boy, he's got to get it together.
Let's look
at guys that are under 25. So Victor Oladipo, I think Vic's got to get to the free throw line. I think that that's that's his next progression. And he may not make it, but I think that that's, I think his aggressiveness, which we're talking about like all these mental things, which are hard to improve on. Like mentally as a person, it's kind of hard to change, you know, what you do. But I do think it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like there was a lot of guys afraid of screwing up last season.
Yeah.
And so
it was the season of Russ in which everyone was very afraid to get the ball whenever he was on the court.
Except for ice in his veins, Samaj Kristen.
That's
that
right.
Is. I don't know. I'm sure maybe it is somewhat intimidating with a guy like Russ on your team. I don't know if he's a tyrant necessarily. I mean, there's plenty of stories where he's been very supportive of his teammates in the locker room, in the huddles, and things like that. I don't know. Maybe just the historical nature of everything and the, you know, the triple double narrative taking over. Maybe there was a concern of, are we going to cost Russ a triple double? Are we going to cost him a rebound or an assist or something like that? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, Oladipo needs to get to the line more than twice a game. He's just got to.
Yes. Cantor, if he can become a three-point shooter, that changes everything. Like, you don't have to be – I think defense is, like, the thing that people are like, he's got to be a better defender. Like, at this point, Cantor is a very experienced NBA player. And I do think that he's gotten better on defense since he's been with OKC. I have no hope that he's going to be an even average defending center. But Ryan Anderson proves that you can have value as a big if you can just shoot the ball. And I think Cantor could. It's going to take a leap, though, because he hasn't taken a ton of attempts in his career. But if he could take three attempts a game coming off the bench and shoot 37%, which I think is possible, I think that changes this team a lot. And I liked the Thunder running the ball through Cantor in the post. And those were very effective for them when he was passing the basketball. But he went away from that. And I just don't know if you're the Thunder, if you can rely on him as a passer going forward. Because it only happened really for a month. And it was great. And I wrote about it on Daily Thunder. And there's lots of GIFs on there, but I just don't know. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true. All of that. So, and to your point, I mean, this is where people get hyper focused on you can't play Enes Kanter, can't play Andre Robertson. Look around the playoffs. Like you mentioned, Ryan Anderson had to get pulled from the starting lineup against the Rockets.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess the Spurs. What am I talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In this final series, Golden State is ignoring Iman Shumpert.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, daring him to shoot. So these challenges are out there. I mean, not every team is as perfect as Golden State. Mm-hmm. I mean, and there was a lot of factors that went into that. So any situation you're going to have, you know, some of these things that you got to manage throughout the game, throughout a series. And it's not reason to not bring that guy back because, again, there's going to be times where a particular guy is going to be very valuable.
Yeah. What about Jeremy Grant? What should he be working on this summer?
Not falling his back.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of him driving the ball. I would prefer him to just take that corner three.
I agree.
He's got just a couple moves that he really likes to do it. He really loves to drive, and I don't like it. I don't think he's.
I mean, was that something that Donovan and the team worked with him after they acquired him? I mean, I'm not particularly up to speed on his game in Philadelphia. But I wonder if that's something they wanted.
I know that Jeremy Grant thinks that that's a part of his game. It's funny. So I've set up these bank accounts for my kids, and one of the guy that I set it up with is really good friends with his dad. Like their kids grew up together, and I've talked to him a bunch, and He even talks about how good Jeremy's drive game is. I'm just like, he said that his dad and him have been working on it, and I'm just like, oh, okay. You go ahead and tell him I don't like that random guy setting up a bank account. Like, tell him I don't like that. But if he could just be a weak side shot blocker and a 3-point shooter with that athleticism, like, that's an extremely valuable player. And that's where I think he could be that. And that's where, if I'm the Thunder, and a lot of people are like, let's just get him on a cheap deal for next season. Let's lock him into a cheaper deal for 4 years. Like, if you think this guy could be a future piece for the Thunder, he's 22. If he could be a 3-and-D 4, lock the dude up. See if you can get him for 4 years and $36 million or something like that. Like, if he's willing to do that, like, do it. Like, lock him up.
I think possibly even less than that. I think it's possible to do that, and especially, I mean, because Oklahoma City is going to have some, you know, finagling they have to do here. Mm-hmm. I agree with you, because my concern would be we're going to keep Jeremy Grant for, you know, $1.5 million next season, and then he hits unrestricted free agency, and then someone is going to, you know, someone's going to plonk the full mid-level exception on him.
Right.
Which will be over $8 million or so, mm-hmm. which Oklahoma City, they can't, you know, they won't have restricted free agent matching rights on him. I mean, obviously they could offer him and try to retain him as an unrestricted. But yeah, I mean, all along, it seems to me just by the way this team operates, they would want to decline that, make him a restricted free agent and try to lock him up this summer.
Be great. Like 4 for $28 million or something like that.
That seems fair. And that seems like you know, sort of the kind of contract where you're paying for a potential down the road. Mm-hmm. And not only that, you're locking up an asset at a price that if the right deal comes up later, you can move him.
Yeah. And he's a guy that hasn't really made much money in his NBA career. And if you could just say, hey, we're offering you, you know, $28 million over the next 4 years, that probably looks super nice to somebody who is like on the fringe of being on NBA rosters. But I do think that he's good. I think he's an NBA player, and I like him.
But there's a precedent. I mean, you know, look at Jay Crowder. I mean, there's a guy that was on minimum salary deals for a couple of years and signed a way below market value contract even before the cap spike. So there's precedent for it.
Yeah. I think Jeremy Grant's going to be good. Alex Abrines, 23 years old. He's a rookie. We gushed about him yesterday for a long time. What do you think that? What do you think he should be working on?
Some people are going to say defense. I don't really know if he can quote unquote work on that. I don't know. Maybe like his driving skills. Maybe his playmaking skills a little bit. I mean, the dude has, you know, he's got all sorts of confidence. If he gets the ball and he's got, you know, a half inch of room, the shot's going up. Mm-hmm. But it feels like if he could add a little bit of playmaking to his game, that could be beneficial.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think putting the ball on the floor is like a next step for him. And he's got a little bit of ability to do that.
A little bit. He does.
If he could drive, because I think that he's got something that Jeremy Grant doesn't, is that he's a very crafty player, and he's a mm-hmm. sneaky good athlete. A sneaky good athlete is only something we say about white guys too. Just throwing that out there.
White European guys too.
Yeah, those are the only sneaky good athletes out there.
Juan Carlos Navarro, Manu Ginobili,
Rudy Fernandez.
Rudy Fernandez.
Oh, they're so sneaky. Oh, it's very surprising. I think if he had some kind of floor game where he could run a pick and roll or something like that, I think that would be a huge step for him. Because he's got all the confidence in the world. Like, he's the anti-Sabonis, because he wants to shoot and he wants the basketball. And if he could put together some kind of floor game, that would be great. That'd be a really big time evolution for him.
And that's where that's where I'm most high on Abrines moving forward. Mm-hmm. I'm not concerned about the shooting percentages in his rookie season. And I think Fred pointed out, I mean, there was a stretch after the All-Star break where he was shooting like 40%+ from three. Mm-hmm. But it's about, I mean, we saw it where, especially like in that game in New Orleans where, I mean, no conscience. And I think they're going to serve him well.
Yeah, I'm excited for him. He shot 40 in the month of March, or in month of February, he shot 47% from three. So he was
nice.
December, he was 41, January 44, February 47. Then in March, he slumped a little bit. He was 31. And then in the playoffs, or in April, in four games in April, he shot 50% from three. So I'm super high on him. I think he's going to be really good. Are there any other young guys? I mean, Josh Huestis, like, just work on getting on the floor. Work on that.
Yeah. Find out what your future is with the team.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe this was the plan all along. Hey, we're going to bring you along over 3 years and then see where you're at. Maybe that was the plan. I don't know. But
yeah, figure that out. Seems like a bad plan.
Maybe one that you should adjust, you know, midstream. If, like, I don't know, one of your star players leaves for an opposing team.
Oh man! From at Ben Varhees, he asks, "What do y'all think of Dylan Brooks out of Oregon? Undersized small forward, high assist rate, playmaking skills. He can shoot well. He wonders if Brooks could play the two. Do you know much about Dylan Brooks?"
I defer to you because the last Brooks from Oregon I know is Aaron Brooks.
That's right, and he's good, man. Little water bug point guard. We need to bring back the term water bug point guard
because water bug. Yep.
I like Dylan Brooks just fine. He's a good shooter. I don't know that the things that he loves to create off the bounce, and he's a little bit too slow to do that on the NBA level, and he's got. He's a 6'7". He's got a 6'6 wingspan. And I don't know that a lot of the stuff that he created in Oregon is going to work in the NBA because he doesn't have a good quickness or great length. But if he could become a spot-up shooter and a ball mover, his quickness, too, is kind of going to limit him on defense. I think he would probably have to play three. I don't think he's quick enough to guard most twos. So he'd have to be like a backup three. But I like his shoot. He shot 40% at Oregon this past year. He has the highest assist rate among any forward in the draft this year. I like him. I like him a lot. He's a smart player. He uses his body really well on defense and offensively. But he's gonna be limited by his athleticism and by his measurables. But I like him. There are a lot of guys in the second round that I really, really like. And I'm gonna talk to Sam Vecenie about all these guys. But if I'm the Thunder, I try to get buy as many second round picks as teams will even let you do, because there's just a lot of guys I feel like are worth taking a chance on. I think Devin Robinson, he's kind of the opposite of Dylan Brooks in that he is massive. He's 6'8". He's got a 7-foot wingspan, which isn't crazy, but almost 7'1" wingspan. But he's a crazy athlete. He's a little Jeremy Grant-ish in that he doesn't have great feel for the game, but he shot well this season. I really like him. There's several guys in the second round. Josh Hart out of Villanova. I think that guy can come in and play day one. Frank Jackson is really interesting. We've talked about him. He's out of Duke. He's a younger guy. He's kind of a combo guard. Jordan Bell, who's like going to be a really good defender, also out of Oregon. He's a junior. He's 22. I think that he can play. My guy, Derek White, is a second-round pick right now. I think that I want the Thunder to take him. So there's just a lot of second-rounders that I'm just like, I love this second round. And what's funny is that I look at the end of the first round and I look where the Thunder are picking and I'm like, I don't like any of these guys for the Thunder. Like, I really don't. Like Jared Allen, Justin Patton, Harry Giles, TJ Leaf, Jonathan John, Terrence Ferguson. I don't think the Thunder should take any of those guys. I don't think the Thunder need more bigs that need developing. I don't think Terrence Ferguson scares the crap out of me, because I think that he's a two guard that will probably only defend twos because he's so skinny. He's very erratic. He's like Will Barton if Will Barton sucked. That's kind of my comp for him.
The very small amount of footage I've seen of him, I wonder if he's like a poor man's Kevin Martin.
He could be. He just hadn't shot like Kevin Martin.
Right, and maybe it's because of his like body. That's where I'm coming from on that. But
the body style's very similar, because Kevin Martin was tall, but he was only a two.
Right.
Then you look at guys like Ojale, who I think is an NBA player, but he's very Josh Huestis-y to me. Like, that's kind of the same position. They're a 3-4. They're probably only a spot-up shooter. They can defend a little bit. They're not elite in that way. Currix, who plays for the second team in Barcelona, he's a project. He's a guy that's going to stay overseas for probably a couple of years. Like, I'd be fine with him just because I think that's an upside swing. Tyler Lydon, I don't like him. Ivan Rabb, no way. There's a lot of guys at the end of the second or the end of the first round that I just don't think the Thunder should take. But then there's like all these second rounders that are kind of older guys. They're crafty. They know how to use their bodies. They're good shooters. There's a lot of good shooters in the second round. So I'd be buying second round picks if I'm the Thunder, because I think this is a really deep draft.
So here's kind of an underrated aspect. You mentioned that Oklahoma City has not sent out any cash in trades. They have $3.5 million
that they can spend.
So just a little bit of history here. Back in 2010, they paid over $3 million to get the draft rights to Tibor Pleiss, mm-hmm. who I think was the 31st pick.
Yes.
Last season, Daniel Hamilton, I think, was 56, and they paid over $700,000 for that pick. Mm-hmm. Now, these D-League roster spots may water down the value of those to an extent. I mean, why pay $700,000 for the 56th pick when your guy may go undrafted and you can pick him up in free agency and you've got two roster spots? But they've got some cash to work with. I mean, they could also potentially use that to entice a team to take Kyle Singler.
Yeah.
You know, potentially. But, I mean, historically, you know, the Thunder have used cash in order to buy draft picks.
And that's a really good point, because I think the Thunder need to buy two picks in the second round, because I just think that there are so many guys that are worth taking a flyer on, plugging them into the D-League and seeing what they can do. And there are years where the second round produces crazy talent.
Quality guys.
I mean, Draymond Green was a second round pick, and I'm not saying the Thunder can get a guy like that in this draft, but I just think that there are guys. Chris Middleton was a second round pick. I mean, there are guys out there that are being overlooked by NBA teams because of one issue or another. Derek White, because he's almost 23 years old. Jordan Bell, also 22. I think some of these older guys, you can go grab them, and they can be really good players for you. So I'm going to talk with Sam Vecenie in more detail, and he can let us know really what these guys got. But I'm excited for this draft. I think that there could be some guys that the Thunder could bring in that can help them even from day one. So
Orlando's got a pair of early second-round picks. Philadelphia has 5 second-round picks. Thank you, Sam Hinkie.
Right.
Houston's got back-to-back second-round picks. And there's always teams that are willing to, you know, willing to move picks. And, you know, there might be a team out there that wants cash. They just want cold, hard cash because for whatever reason. So, you know, the Thunder are in position to buy into that draft.
Yep. Denver, also a team, has 2 second-round picks that they have way too many young guys. Like, they can't play their
young
guys.
And 3 first-round picks.
Yeah.
No, it's Portland that has 3 first-round picks. I'm sorry.
Portland's got – yeah. There are teams that are just like, we just can't play all these guys. Like, we just can't even develop them. And that's where, like, those those roster spots will come in handy. Maybe they, maybe Denver keeps both these picks and drafts Devin Robinson and Monte Morris and just puts them both on in their D-League spot. But I don't know. It'll be,
yeah.
I think this draft will be really fun. John, thanks for coming on the pod today. We'll follow you on Twitter at John M. Hamm. We'll also listen to you on the franchise here locally. Basketball show on Saturdays. It's super fun. I've been on a couple times, and it's just a great, fun basketball show. So you need to listen to that. What's the name of that show, John?
We don't know yet.
Okay.
It varies. No, I mean, it's kind of a running joke because we have called it both the NBA Insider Show, the Thunder Insider Show, the NBA Thunder Insider Show, the NBA Inside Thunder. We're this summer, darn it, we are going to pin it down, and we are going to get the name figured out. That's one of my things in life right now is trying to figure out names for things. And no, I don't mean children. It's one of the big challenges I'm dealing with right now in life.
It is worth your time. I will say that.
We have a lot of fun.
It's a worthwhile show. A lot of good content. So check that out. You can follow us on Twitter at Down to Dunk. Please leave us a 5-star iTunes review. If you listen to us week in, week out, we would really appreciate it if you just take just a couple minutes of your time, go to iTunes, click 5 stars, and then if you have time, write us a message. We read all of them. We see all of them. We really appreciate it and just want to thank you guys for listening and have a great Wednesday.